Oh, this first hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. Oh, there's my music right there.
It's a calling, a strange compulsion that makes us leave our homes, taking music on the road. We can't deny it, though we sometimes try it. It always haunts us if we hesitate to go. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May your wheels always turn and may the sunlight of your day. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May you find your comfort in friends along the way.
You came throwing colors all around my blacks and grays. While I stood in wonder, you just opened up my days. Let me tell you what you did to me. I wanna shout the news. You came throwing colors round my blues. You came throwing colors round my blues. Makes me wonder how I got the way I used to be. Something in my head just simply made a mess of me. Then you told me love was possible, and you told me I was free. You came throwing colors round my blues. Oh, you came throwing colors all around my blacks and grays. While I stood in wonder, you just opened up my days. Let me tell you what you did to me. I wanna shout the news. You came throwing colors round my blues. You came throwing colors round my blues.
My goodness, Tom Paxton from the album Peace Will Come. It's one of the Warner Brothers albums. There was a time Tom Paxton had been on Elektra Records for quite a few years up until the early 70s. And then he went to Warner Brothers and came out with a bunch of albums that were fairly overproduced, trying to put him into more of a kind of a pop soft rock format. Even his angry ones. There was an album called How Come the Sun. And and of course the tendency was towards the, you know, the ultimate extreme would have been the acid rock sound. and everybody was experimenting with whining, squealy guitars and all this kind of thing. And the whole industry, including the folk thing, was tending towards a kind of a, ooh, we need to throw a little bit of phony imitation psychedelic in there. We need to do all kinds of stuff. And it never went very far with Paxton because all they could achieve was more of a pop sound. But that's what happened with Warner Brothers. And he had basically three, I believe, albums on Warner Brothers before he went to some other labels. And these Warner Brothers albums, the two of them especially, are fairly overproduced. The third one is one called New Songs for Old Friends, and it's a live album that he recorded while he was living in England. And Tom Paxton, incredible musical life, and one of the surviving songwriters. Obviously, in the later years, you know, when you are a songwriter, you write songs for a living. And in his case, he sang and performed them. But when you write songs for a living, that is what you do. And that doesn't necessarily mean that all of your songs are going to be good songs. And it certainly doesn't mean that you're going to have a quantity of bad ones. Because if you're a good songwriter and you achieve it, then that's exactly what you are. And he has survived for many, many years and has written an amazing amount of good songs and a few real clunkers in his time. And the next album I do is going to be a tribute to Tom Paxton, I think. Some of his love songs are just amazing. And they, in their simplicity, is what makes them really amazing, as was that one. You came throwing colors round my blues, Tom Paxton. I'm Dan Marr. This is Inland Folk for February or January the 23rd. January the 23rd. Here we are, well into the first month of 2016. Very rarely did singers and songwriters like Gordon Lightfoot and Tom Paxton and John Prine and all those guys, they very rarely recorded songs that they did not write. And in Paxton's case, that was very true. But he did a few. This one was written by Dick Giddens. He learned it from his friend Garth Johnson. For those of you who are young and don't know much about the working class, and especially folks who are in construction and in mining and all of this kind of thing, the lunch pail is a big part of the whole working thing. We had lunch pails in school, of course, but working guys, you had great big ones, lunch buckets, lunch pails with all their lunch in them. And they became symbolic of that individual half the time. He used to put drawings on them and stuff. But this is called Sully's Pail. Sully as in Sullivan. And this is about the Irish mine workers. This is a really, really good song. And I'm going to play this Tom Paxton's version of this.
I've a thing or two to tell you that I think you ought to know about that rusty bucket Sully carries down below. You're not the first one, stranger, that has laughed at Sully's pail. You're the only one that's laughing now. The rest has heard this tale. Sure, when we was young and handsome, had some 10 years in the game, old Sol, he had a partner, and Jim Riley was his name. They had knocked about together, Bingham, Butte, and Coeur d'Alene, and they'd brawled in every bar room from Ely to Fort McLean. Now me and old Ted Johnson, sure you'll not remember him. We was working at the Rarest, had a stope with Sol and Jim. The four of us together, we was working side by side. That's how come I chanced to be there on the night Jim Riley died. Well, the blasting had been easy, it was coming out like sand. And we was mucking out the ore, those days we mucked by hand. And we was nearly finished, and I hadn't heard a sound. But something must have happened, for Jim Riley yelled, "Bad ground." When we headed for the timberin', Sully must have took a spill. For when we looked back in there, he was pinned beneath his drill. The ceiling, it was groaning now, all set to drop the lid. And Sully pinned beneath his drill was sobbing like a kid. Well, there's men can watch their partners die, not throw their lives away. But Riley wasn't one of them, he wasn't built that way. As soon as he seen what happened, "Hey, hold on there, Sol," he cried. And before he had the words out, he had thrown the drill aside. They come around the ore car, Riley wearing a big grin. Guess he never knew what happened when the hanging wall caved in. Sully reached the timber in, his face as white as chalk. And Riley, 2 yards back of him, caught 15 ton of rock. That day Sully's pail was buried, he ate from Riley's pail in tears. And he's carried that same bucket now for more than 20 years. So you can laugh at Sol because he's mean and drinks a lot. But don't laugh at Sully's bucket. That's the only friend he's got. What a friend you are. If I had a golden star, I'd pin it on you for seeing it through with me, with me. What a friend indeed. Girl, they all but had me treat till you came along, and you made me strong and
quite subtle and the mood low-key. The sky was overcast, you could hardly see, and the creatures all boogied to a different frequency. The day the finger pickers took over the world, yeah.
Yeah, it happened one day, way back in the sticks. He picked up his guitar, but he had no pick. So with just a thumb and two fingers, he made up some licks. And finger pickers took over the world.
So that's how it happened that wonderful day.
With just a thumb and two fingers, he started to play.
Yeah.
Without even knowing, he was showing the way.
And finger pickers took over this world. Yes, they did. I'll play a little harmony.
Oh, yeah, okay. So stop, look, and listen. It'll happen, you'll see. You'll want to join in and play finger-pickingly.
People once laughed at this nonconformity, but finger-pickers took over the world. And so all the people were finally set free.
They all hung out and interacted fretfully.
And the air began to vibrate with sweet tonality. The day finger-pickers took over the world.
So that's how it happened that wonderful day.
With just a thumb and two fingers,
Chet started to play.
Ah, shut up.
Without even knowing, he was showing the way.
And finger pickers
took over the world
like this. Just a thumb and two fingers, he started to play.
Without even knowing, he was showing the way.
Like this.
Chet Atkins with Tom Emmanuel, the day the finger pickers took over the world, when finger pickers took over the world. It's the title cut of the album. This album came out in 1997, and would be fairly early in Tommy Emmanuel's career. It'd be fairly late, really late, in Chet Atkins' career, of course. Chet Atkins, who created the Nashville sound, who was partly responsible for the softening of hillbilly music, turning it into that pop Nashville thing with that smooth, smooth, soft guitar sound of his. That kind of combination of jazz and country and pop. And of course, you know, to be fair to everybody, Chet Atkins kind of decried hillbilly music later on, even though he was a banjo and fiddle player in his early years. And he worked extensively with the Carter Sisters. And oftentimes when he had a little solo spot on the Carter Sisters radio show, the Carter family with Mother Maybelle and the three sisters, he would play more of a kind of complex jazz format country thing while they were doing hillbilly music. And it seems to have created a situation in his head where he did not really care for that kind of thing, that hillbilly thing. So he was in large part responsible for what we call the Nashville sound, heavily pop country music, but not as in today, where country music is in itself a pop thing, but country music with middle-of-the-road pop influences all over the place. And so when you hear all those people like Farron Young and early Willie Nelson and Patsy Cline, and you listen to all that production work that has that pop feel to those country songs, It's really in large part due to folks like Chet Atkins. Chet Atkins was amazing. He came out with a lot of albums, and he participated with a lot of folks that were not in his genre. He did an album with Doc Watson, which was interesting because nobody thought he would do an album with a bluegrasser. He did an album with Mark Knopfler, and he did this album with Tommy Emmanuel in 1997, and he died in 2001 in Nashville. Chet Atkins did. He was 77 years old or something like that. 73, 74. Anyway, he was up there in the 70s. So this album is an amazing album. It's got a little production value to it. It's very Nashville-y because it is a Chet Atkins album. But it has a lot of great duet guitar work with Tommy Emmanuel, the Australian who was young and just starting to find his chops. And that's what that's all about. Before that, Tom Paxton, What a Friend You Are. Oh, my gosh, what a friend you are. What a friend my audience is. You're all so cool. What a friend Amanda Cully is doing the playlists. Oh, my goodness. I have a lot of good friends, and I really do so appreciate all of you. All righty? That's a great song. That's one of the first songs I ever learned to play, and along with a couple of other cuts, because this album was fairly influential. And Warner Brothers, in the United Kingdom, a small label that's a subsidiary of Warner Brothers, released this thing. And in the United Kingdom and in Europe, they are so much more friendly towards American folk singers than American record labels are. It's pretty cool. One more from Tom Paxton. This is from a box set called The Original Series. It's the bulk of the Elektra labels, except Elektra recordings, except for one. And it's released on a European label as well. And where are we at here? No, it's on Rhino. It's on Rhino, a subsidiary of Warner. Anyway, I want to hear this wonderful, wonderful little song here about John Lennon. And it was written back when John Lennon had just left the Beatles and what all that meant. Alrighty, here we go.
Crazy John, where you gonna run to today? Crazy John, so early to be up and away. They never can hear you, John. So how can you teach them? They never come near you, John. So how can you reach them? Crazy John, can I come along when you go? Crazy John, you tell them what they don't want to know. They never can hear you, John. They have no desire. They're beginning to fear you, John. And the hate's getting higher. When you wade in the water, the people can't see the old reflections. When you stand in the road, the people can't read the old directions. When the people get lost, they start building a cross. Crazy John, why you wanna go back again? Crazy John, talking with the desperate men. You have to be crazy, John, for taking those chances when you could be lazy, John, just playing for dances. When you wade in the water, the people can see the old reflections. When you stand in the road, the people can't read the old directions. When the people get lost, they start building a cross.
Oh, tiptoeing through the bluegrass. They are Chet Atkins and Tommy Emmanuel. A lot of good people on this album. Johnny Gimble's on this album playing fiddle and a couple of other folks. It's got some real interesting things on it. It's a good album to have. If you're a Chet Atkins freak, yeah, automatically. If you're a Tommy Emmanuel freak, it just goes to show you how diverse this young fella is. And if you get a chance to see Tommy Emmanuel live, you should do it. He tends to show up at the Bing Crosby Theater about once a year in June. And you should keep track. Look him up. Look him up on our playlist and then look him up. Or you can look up the Bing Crosby, see if they're planning to do Tommy Emmanuel again. He comes out in the States. He's an Australian and he comes out about every year. And I remember when the Columbia went down in 98, 99, right in there. And Garrison Keillor was doing one of his joke shows. And they decided to do the show live. They decided to do it as a way of sort of getting our minds off that loss, the Columbia thing. And Tommy Emmanuel was on that show. And he played amazing guitar that day. And we kind of needed that for a while, for a respite from thinking about the folks on the Columbia. And what a day that was. I saw Sweet Honey in the Rock in Walla Walla at Cordner Hall there in Whitman College. Oh, my gosh. Well, we have to take a little bit of a break. Inland Folks, a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marr. And we have lots, lots, lots more music coming up. So you just need to hang on because it's all coming at you. And I don't even know where we're going with this, but we'll go someplace, okay? You and I together, we'll just go someplace. Drop everything. Drop your vacuum cleaner. Drop the kids off at soccer or hockey. Drop them off someplace, and then let's just all go someplace. All righty. We'll be right back. Hang on, hang on, hang on.
Your favorite programs on Northwest Public Radio are made possible by listeners like you and by Howard Hughes Appliance TV and Sleep Shop, offering Bosch dishwashers designed to reduce noise and available with a third rack for cutlery and utensils. Displayed in the Howard Hughes showroom, open Monday through Saturday on the Pullman Road in Moscow.
The scattered afternoon showers today with a high in Pullman of 44, Lewiston 50. Rain likely tonight, sometimes mixed with snow, with an inch possible for the Palouse. A low of 35 for Moscow, 40 in Clarkston tonight. Sunshine tomorrow, but with a chance of rain-snow mix in the morning.
Day.
Oh, I Dream in Blue. Stray Birds. We have a lot of their, you know, I just discovered them about last October. Stray Birds. And we have a couple of other their albums as well. But it's pretty cool, Stray Birds. I Dream in Blue. That's a nice one. They don't do a lot of banjo work. Stray Birds don't. So it's kind of neat when they pull that off. All righty. Well, where are we at here? How about this one more from Chet Atkins and Tom? When I was a kid, a couple of years back, when I was a kid, we all had Mel Bay guitar books. Mel Bay did banjo books and fiddle books. Mel Bay was, and that's how he made his money. I don't know if Mel Bay himself was a very good musician, but he put out all of these instruction books, all of these books about how to play the guitar, and there were several guitar books. There were just one, just like the elementary guitar book, and then there was the advanced guitar book. There was one just, there's one called 1001 Chords for the Guitar, and it was just chords, nothing else, no songs or anything, just a bunch of chords. And it showed him, you know, it had drawings of the fretwork and what you're supposed to do. And then he had books of basically whole guitar courses, and you could, and showed you different songs and Red River Valley and that kind of thing. And a lot of us had Mel Bay guitar books, and it didn't improve our musical abilities so much. We could go through the motions, half of us, but we weren't good enough to actually, you know that we were in tune half the time. And Mel Bay was the guy who convinced, and it didn't take him a lot of time to do it, that convinced a lot of kind of, what is it, Harry Chapin used to call us, spastic guitar players, you know, that we were really, really, really good. And by using a Mel Bay book, we used to think that when we really actually weren't, but we sure had fun playing all that music. And Mel Bay guitar books, they're still around. You can still pick them up at most music stores. So anyway, this introduction is a lot longer than the song, and which is, I have a tendency to do that, and I don't apologize. But the thing is this makes this Chet Atkins, Tommy Manuel song pretty cool. All right.
Mel Bay, in your manual, you taught us how to hold the pick. You gotta hold it in this manner to play them fancy licks. Now we're happily strumming along, and you ought to hear us play. And I guess we owe it all to you. Thanks a lot, Mel Bay. Mel Bay, Mel Bay, we just want to say we wouldn't know what we're doing if you had shown the way. Mel Bay, Mel Bay, every time we play, we always think of you, and I hope you'll have a nice day.
You showed us how to play a G. On page 22, you taught us how to play a D. But lordy, oh lordy, we never learned to play an E, 'cause someone in the outhouse stole page 23.
I'm going down the Grooms and buying a ukulele. I want to learn to play fairy shells and a ukulele lady. I just bought your book, Mel Bay, on how to play the fiddle. I can play on that high string and those two in the middle.
And we're ready to sign autographs if anyone should ask.
You know we're getting better than we ever thought we could.
Please send us another book and we'll play twice as good.
Mel Bay, Mel Bay, we just want to say we wouldn't know what we're doing
sort of cold dawn in a while. Long time they were all I knew. Been holding on to a newborn child whose eyes are asking after you. Oh, railroad man, I've been trying.
Well, this is interesting. Lynn Wright. The album is called The Right Rags. And this is the second time this album was released. It was a re-release. And he did it in Moscow when he was living in Moscow, Idaho, actually. He re-released this album. This is interesting interpretation. You know, this whole idea of rags, when you look at the Scott Joplin spin on rags, he wanted rags to be an American classical music. He wanted rags to be something that was completely American, but he wanted it taken seriously as people took Paderewski and Rachmaninoff and as far back as those folks, you know, doing European stuff. And that was Scott Joplin's goal. I don't know if during his time it ever got there. And part of the reason, so when you hear people like, oh, Joshua Rifkin and Scott Kirby and those guys do rags, it has a very classical feel in homage to Scott Joplin. And that's pretty cool. When Lynn plays these rags, they're more clipped, more crisp, they're faster, and they kind of have that sort of mildly have a kind of a rinky-tink feel to them. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's more of a probably what we envision the working man's rag, and how if you were in piano bars and things like that in the 20s and 30s, that's how this stuff would be played. That was the black and white rag and the dill pickle rag. We're going to hear Lynn Wright do a Scott Joplin one, the Maple Leaf Rag, and his interpretation of the Maple Leaf Rag and the way he plays it is, and the style in which he plays it without any sound pedals, any long notes, is very interesting compared to the more serious interpretations of Scott Joplin. And I'm not sure if Joplin would have approved of Lynn's interpretations, because they were kind of the way folks viewed rag at the time that Scott Joplin was trying to elevate that music a little bit. On the other hand, and I've seen Lynn Wright play, he's has a lot of fun doing it, and he's a good guy. All right? So here we go. This is the Maple Leaf Rag. Here we go, coming right at you. Thank you.
got a shadow on my shoulder, at my back a jealous wind. I've got to kneel and kiss the ground just to remember who I am. I'll keep on singing in some city they ain't who I'm singing for. I'm just a lost songbird caught in a green-eyed storm. And there ain't no easy way to leave the eye of a storm. Safe singing right on through wind and rain. No, there ain't no easy way.
Nice. Stray Bird. I think this is probably their, this is a self-titled CD. And I think it's probably the their first one. They had an EP, but this is probably their first full album. Then they have a second album that's also really good. These guys are amazing. They're out of Pennsylvania, I believe. Stray Bird. That was Wind and Rain. Before that, the Maple Leaf Rag with Lynn Wright playing it fast and full of energy and full of cool stuff. Yalen Wright, Dude Wright. The Wright Rags is the name of that album. Alrighty. Okay. Amanda Cully helping on the playlists, doing her thing. And we will continue to do this for another 2 hours. We have the Rankin family in the background. And if you want to email me at D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R at WSU.edu. That's D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R at WSU.edu. Or you can call me at 509-332-5047. That's 509-332-5047. 47. It's been that way since we started doing the show. I've had that phone number now since 1977. It's my home phone. Do you ever think about that? Like when you were a little kid, just how long you had a certain phone number? It's really cool. My mom had the same number for 30-some years. All righty, Inland Folks, a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. We're coming right back. You just hang on. You think about the oddest things when you're behind the mic. We're coming right back. You just hang on now. Hang on.
Chi morun ya gusa amisha 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 chi morun